The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Is Gehenna the same thing as Hades? Great question. That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question, you can send it to us, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's get right to today's interesting discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, let's get to some questions. Here is one from Sam. He says, in Bible study, an interesting question came up. In Mark 9, Jesus talks about cutting the right hand off, for it'd be better to go into life maimed than having both and be thrown into hell. The word hell is Gehenna, correct? I've noticed it's different from the word Hades found in Luke 16. Are they the same place using interchangeable words, or is Gehenna possibly referring to the lake of fire?
You know, this is a great, great question, Sam. I wrote a book called The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, and I have a chapter on hell. In fact, I'm going to be teaching on that Sunday after this one. This Sunday, I'm teaching on heaven. The Sunday after that, on hell.
Okay.
He's absolutely correct that the normal word translated hell is, in the New Testament, Hades. In the Old Testament, it's Sheol.
Now, hell is a King James word, right?
Yes.
It came to us from the King James as a blanket term for all kinds of different Greek and Hebrew terms, which is kind of a weakness of that translation because it doesn't bring out that there are different compartments to the underworld, you might say.
Right. Now, there's so many places. For example, Sam mentions Gehenna, but there's also the abyss.
The abyss, yeah.
And the abyss seems to be a portion of Hades or Sheol that is far worse, and this is where the angels who fell are currently being held in bondage. And that's what the Gadarene demoniac was afraid of when he said, if you come to torment us before the time,
mm-hmm.
they were afraid they were going to be sent to the abyss.
Mm-hmm.
There's also Tartarus,
mm-hmm.
which may be another name for the abyss. Maybe this is something else. And Gehenna could refer, Jody Dillo suggests that Gehenna often refers to judgment in this life.
Because it may be a name for a valley outside of Jerusalem.
Right, where they burn trash continually. And so some people say this would be a reference to temporal judgment.
It's figurative. Maybe it's figurative language.
But Sam is right as well. I recently read something about the fact that some people hold that Gehenna could refer to the lake of fire. So it's not referring to someone being cast into it immediately. That's not where the unsaved dead go.
Mm.
They go to Hades, awaiting the great white throne judgment. And then we're told in Revelation 20:11-15, that death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is not the same as Hades. It's where the dead, unsaved dead, or the unbelieving dead, are cast after the great white throne judgment.
Yeah.
And so that could well be. And by the way, in Mark 9, I believe, and the parallels, it says it's better to enter into life maimed. Well, that enter into life suggests that we're talking about everlasting life. Because obviously the unbeliever already has life, physical life. What they don't have is everlasting life. So I think the case could be made that Gehenna there does refer to the lake of fire. The bigger issue, and Sam didn't ask about that, or did he? Did he go on to ask about what it means to cut off the hand, pluck out the eye?
He doesn't. Let's talk about
that. Okay, briefly, it's eye, hand, foot.
Yeah.
The eye is what you see, the hand is what you do, the foot is where you go.
Mm.
And the basic point the Lord could be making, and I think probably is, if there's something we're gazing upon, something we're doing, somewhere we're going, that's hindering us from hearing the promise of everlasting life and believing it, that it's better to turn from that so that I can be receptive to the message than it is to cling to that sin and not be in the kingdom. It's not saying that you must turn from your sins to be born again.
And it doesn't mean literally cut your body parts off either.
No, this is figurative language. It refers to stopping what we're seeing, doing, or where we're going, if that hinders. It would be better for me to give that up so that I can go to church or talk to a Christian and hear the promise of everlasting life and believe it and be born again, than it would be to be eternally condemned.
Right.
And so it would be giving up something in order to hear the message, not giving it up as a requirement to be born again. So it's not saying that you've got to turn from your sins to be born again. What it is saying is if your sinful ways are keeping you from hearing the saving message, better to abandon that.
Right. Here's a little gruesome piece of church history for church history nerds. A lot of people, they took it literally, and some monks, they would turn themselves into eunuchs, thinking, you know, this is my problem, and I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to cut it off the way Jesus said to. And what they found was, you still lust in your mind, no matter what you cut off. So it's not really, it didn't really help. And so the church eventually outlawed making yourself into a eunuch.
One of the things to keep in mind is Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where we find this saying, are not telling unbelievers what they need to do to be born again.
Yeah.
They're telling believers about the ministry of Jesus so they might follow him better. I think we need to recognize, to understand this, we need to know the message of John 3:16.
Mm.
Because he doesn't say what you need to do to enter into life. He just says it's better to get rid of this in order to enter into life. But he doesn't say what the saving message is.
So Sam goes on to ask about, in the lake of fire, the fire is not quenched, and it says their worm doesn't die. And his question is, the worm there, is he talking about their soul, or is it literal maggots crawling on people in torment?
No, I think what this is, and you see this, I think, in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, where the unbelieving dead are mocking new arrivals and talking about, hey, you king, the worms are eating up your body.
Mm.
And I think this is a figure of speech referring to worms that eat dead bodies.
Yeah.
And obviously the person is not experiencing any pain as a result of worms eating their dead bodies. But the fire unquenched and the worms that aren't dying refers to ongoing torment.
All right, so that's interesting because, you know, so what you're saying is neither the fire nor the worms are literal fire or worms.
Well, I would say the fire, there is literal fire in the lake of fire.
So why is that literal?
And there is literal fire in Sheol, Hades.
Okay.
But having said that, when he talks about the unquenchable fire, I think he's talking metaphorically about eternal conscious torment, ECT.
Okay.
He's not saying that the way in which they experience ECT is by their flesh being on fire, which I don't believe that's going to happen.
Okay.
I think it's just they're in a fiery environment.
All right, well, so how do you parse that out? It sounds on the one side you want to say that it's metaphorical for torment.
Right.
But on the other side, you want to say, but there is actual fire, so it's not metaphorical.
Right, but it's just coincidental that there's actual fire there. The Lord isn't talking, when he talks about the unquenchable fire, he's using a figure of speech.
Ah, I see.
Just like when he's talking about the worms.
Okay.
As far as I can tell, there aren't going to be any worms in the lake of fire, but there will be fire because it's called the lake of fire.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're going to be in the lake. I think they're going to be on land masses. It's going to be like lava, you know, molten lava or the lakes or the oceans. And those with seaside property are going to have the worst experience. You're going to want to be in the interior as far away from the lava flow as possible.
The Bible doesn't say any of that, so why do you think that?
Right. Well, in my chapter on hell, and I know you've been doing some research on hell yourself.
Yeah.
In my chapter on hell, I found that when you read what the scholars say, they point out that the Bible has amazingly little to say about what the lake of fire is like or what Sheol Hades is like now.
Right.
Almost nothing.
Almost
all of the pictures we have almost all come from medieval theology.
Oh, yeah.
Dante's Inferno.
The great frescoes in the churches in Italy.
And they say, you know, people have fire coming out of every pore of their skin and out of their eyes and out of their nose. All that's made up.
Yeah.
The most we have is in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man says, I am in torment here in these flames.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say he's on fire. He's just in a fiery environment, and he's in torment.
Yeah.
And even then, I think we recognize Sheol is evidently in the center of the earth, And the center of the earth is so hot that if there were...
So you think it's literally in the center of the earth?
I think it is.
Like if we drilled for oil, we'd hit Sheol eventually?
Yeah, I don't think we'd actually see it, of course. If we took a spaceship and somehow came to the third heaven, we wouldn't see it either. It's just like there are angels out there all the time. There might be an angel in this room. We don't see it, do we?
Right, right.
Or
like
him.
Yeah.
So there's lots of spiritual realities we don't see.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Spiritual reality, yeah. Back to, like, the fiery seaside, you know, property.
Right.
You're just trying to imagine what it... Based on what little information we have, you're trying to imagine.
That's just a big guess.
Yeah,
huge
okay.
guess.
Okay.
I could be wildly wrong.
Okay.
We're not really told anything about
exactly.
the Lake of Fire.
Exactly.
Unless Gehenna is the Lake of Fire, then we have a little more information there, and even that's not certain.
Well, even Gehenna, I mean, I think, yeah.
Very little is told.
It seems like
that.
That's the Valley of Hinnon, and...
Right.
Apparently, there's all kinds of evangelical traditions about it being that garbage dump. But apparently, I've read scholars who said that's an old wives' tale that such and such a person
right.
made up and made its way into all kinds of sermons. The Bible's hard, man. It doesn't give us a whole lot. It's like poking through a little keyhole. We don't see everything.
Let me close by saying this.
Yeah.
One of the things I wrote in my chapter on hell... People have said, many pastors have said that the torment in hell is going to be worse than any pain or suffering here on earth.
Mm.
That is going way, way, way beyond the scriptures.
Really?
The scriptures never say that. They never hint at that.
Okay.
And I would suggest that a lot of the torment here on earth is worse than the torment people will experience in the lake of fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't see the lake of fire as eternal childbirth, eternal passing kidney stones, except they never pass.
Okay.
Eternal being tortured, you know, like
yeah.
the Nazis tortured people, or, you know, in war, people have been tortured. I don't see any of that hinted at in Scripture. I see it as it's torment, it's eternal, it's conscious, but it will be bearable.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in your questions, and we'll see you next show.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to explore more of the topics that we talk about on this show and don't know where to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you where. It's at faithalone.org. That's our website, faithalone.org. On the site, we have all kinds of free resources that are designed to help you grow and mature in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. For example, we have this beautifully laid out full-color magazine that you can get a free subscription. Just go to faithalone.org and sign up on the site. Would you like to become a financial partner with this show? Well, if so, you can find out how to do that on faithalone.org. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. By the way, we love to hear from our listeners. Maybe you've got a comment, feedback, or even a question. If you do, I'll give you our email address so that you can reach out to us. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what is a cult. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.